You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This Sunday is Youth Sunday, and we will hear testimonies from two of our students on our leadership team. Let's listen in.
Good morning. For those of you all who do not know, I'm Sarah Grimes, and I'm going to be sharing my story with y'all today. So, I was born into a Christian family where, ever since I was 2 months old, I've came to church. And that's kind of all I've really known. Like, every meal, before every meal, you said your prayers. You said prayers before you go to bed. Every Sunday morning, you got up, you came to church. Sunday night, you went to Bible drills. Wednesday, you came home from school, and then you went to church. And that's just kind of been the way. Like in the car, all we listened to was Christian music. One of my favorite games as a kid, in the car when I'm going to school, I would listen to the radio, and I would try to guess what the Christian song was. Most of the time I got it right, and if I didn't, I would put it on my list so that way I could learn it even more because that was my favorite game. And so that's just kind of been my life. I was going to church. I grew up in a Christian family. And so I always thought I had a boring testimony because when people talk about their testimonies, they always talk about how they went through all of this bad stuff and they just hit rock bottom and they never went to church. They never saw God. And for me, that wasn't really the case because ever since I was like five, you said, what was John 3:16? And I could tell you what it was. It's always thought I had a boring testimony. And I didn't really realize until now that no testimony is boring. Everybody tells me that you don't have a boring testimony. There's no such thing as a boring testimony. But for me, I always thought I had a boring testimony because there wasn't much into it. And so it all started for me when one night I begged my parents if I could listen to some music before I went to bed. And after a while of convincing, they let me listen to some Christian music before I went to bed. And I remember sitting there, and I was starting to fall asleep, so I was no longer singing the lyrics to the songs. And At the Cross came on. And it says, At the cross, where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe it all to you. And I remember just laying in my bed, and I could not stop crying. And at the time, I didn't really understand why, but I just could not stop crying at those lyrics. And apparently I was crying loud enough because my parents came into the room. And after a while of talking to them, I gave my life to God that night. And so they made an appointment for me to come speak to Brother Mike. And one of the ways that he showed me, like he demonstrated to me, is what I've been taught through camps, is you're over here, you know, and God's over here. And in the middle, there's sin, and there's a pit of sin. And if you try to walk to God, you're going to fall into the sin. And the only way that you can get to God is when the cross falls down, it makes a bridge, and you're able to walk across it. But however, the cross, as you can see, has the sides. So when it falls over, there's a part sticking up. So you have to climb over it. And it's not going to be an easy climb to get over it. But once you get over it, it's going to be worth it because then you're downhill and you're straight into God's arms. And so after talking to him, my parents talked to him, and my parents kind of told me that they didn't think I was mature and I wasn't really ready. I didn't understand the full meaning of what it meant to be a follower of God. As any defiant little 9-year-old, I wanted to get baptized, and I was going to get baptized when I wanted to because I thought I was ready. And so I ended up getting baptized, and looking back onto it, it was for like all the wrong reasons. At the time, I wanted to get baptized because I didn't tell anybody this, obviously, but I wanted to get baptized because I wanted to be the first person out of all of my friends to get baptized. Because then you can do communion. And I thought it was pretty cool. Because for any of y'all that know, in the sanctuary, you're not allowed to bring food or drinks in here. Don't even dare to bring food or drinks. And so I thought it was really cool that you could eat and drink in the sanctuary. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why I got baptized. And looking back onto it, there was this incident at school that happened. After I got baptized, I was swinging on the swings, and I jumped out. And I went back to my swings, but there was a girl on my swing. And yes, there were plenty of swings, but that was my swing. I'd been swinging in that swing, and she stole my swing. And I remember getting really mad, and I remember very clearly, I looked at her, and I said, okay, I just got baptized, which means I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to show you the love of Jesus, but you're making it really hard, so can you give me my swing back? That didn't go over really well. We got into a little bit of fight from that. And looking back onto that, I can just see that I didn't get baptized for the right reasons. And so then girls camp, I went to the Friendship Girls Plays Camp out at Friendship Camp for 3 years. And the first year I went, and I ended up rededicating my life. And I came home and told my parents. The next year, I went again, and I rededicated my life again. And then it happened again. I went the third year, and I rededicated my life. And my parents were like, okay, Sarah, once you've asked Jesus into your heart, he's there. You don't have to keep asking him. You don't have to keep rededicating your life. And so my last year of camp, I went there, and I told myself, okay, you're not going to rededicate your life. He's already there. You know, just go there and learn more about him. And on the last night, during the benediction, I remember just crying. And I remember just, like, my whole body went numb. And I just remember just falling on the floor, just in a puddle, just crying. And one of the counselors came over to me, and they started talking to me. And I remember telling them all I was feeling and everything and about how I hadn't been living for God the way I should have been. And then that night, I truly understood what it meant to be a follower of God and what I was getting myself into, because I hadn't really been able to see that at the age of 8. And so the age of 12, that night at camp, I met Jesus for the first time, in the sense that I, for the first time ever, trusted in him and gave him my life. And ever since then, obviously, I was 12, and I have times where I would fall off. Whenever we would go to a Christian camp, I would, you know, I'd be my Jesus high, and I'd be all, for what? I'd be Jesus, Jesus, and then it would kind of fall. And that went on for forever until this year at MOVE. We talked about what's your move going to be and, like, what's your next step going to be for Jesus. And I remember thinking about it and for a while how my move needed to be different, to be bold, to be okay with being the weird kid, to stand out. And I thought that for a while after MOVE about what that meant for me and what I was going to do to live out that next move. And so for after a while of trying to figure out, I finally try to understand it. And Luke always told us that you are what, like, you consume. So I started taking that to heart, and I realized that the music needs, like, every part of your life needs to glorify God. And so I changed my music from the pop station to Christian radio. And so I listened to Christian music every day on the way to school and every way home. And honestly, just listening to the Christian music really just changed my life, because I found myself happier. I was full of more love. I was that kid walking down school that's like, good morning, how are you? How are you doing? I like your outfit. I was just so happy, and I was really bubbly, and I had a love for people. People that I wouldn't normally talk to during the hallways, I talked to them. I overall had more of a sense of love and care for other people. And my friends would always joke with me, what is wrong with you? Because I would look at them and I'd be like, how's it going? How's your day going? I like your shirt. Are you happy? I'm ready for lunch. And obviously they were like, okay, what's wrong with you? Because I was just so happily, I was so happy. And through that music was just a time where I was able just to dive into God and try to change my life in a sense. And through that time when I changed my life, and I remember sitting at lunch one day, and we were quiet at my lunch table. And so I was like, you know what? This is my opportunity. So I was like, y'all, Jesus is so good. So something like that. And I remember when my friends looking at me, I'm like, Sarah, not now. I'm not in the mood for that. Can we talk about something else? And that really hit me, because I thought your friends should be the ones who talk to Jesus about you. They shouldn't be the ones who tell you to stop talking about Jesus. And so it really stuck with me. And I was like, well, maybe if I can't talk about Jesus to my friends, then those friends aren't glorifying God. And if those friends aren't glorifying God, then why do you have them? And so I thought about it a while, and I knew that I needed to do something about it, but I didn't really know what to do about it. And so, I keep saying so a lot. I'm sorry. And so, here it goes. I thought about it a lot and what it meant and what I was going to do to be different. And so I think I was going to give up on it. So I thought about it a lot, and I decided that I needed to distance myself from those friends and try to find some friends and find some friends that glorify God. So I did. And so I remember it was a miserable time for like a week and a half. I just found myself crying. I cried every time I went to school. I cried myself to sleep. I mean, every time I was alone, I just cried, because I didn't want to get rid of those friends, because I knew that if I got rid of those friends, I would have nobody. I'd be sitting by myself at lunch. I'd have no one to hang out with during break. I'd have no one to go to the pageants with, no one to go with to the football games with, no one to go to the baseball games with. So I knew that overall I would be alone. And I didn't want to be completely by myself. And so for a while I struggled with that because no one really wants to be alone. But I knew that those friends were not what I needed to be with. And so after realizing, I finally admitted it, that, you know, something needed to change and that I knew that I'd have God if I was alone. But at the same time, it's kind of weird if you're sitting at the lunch table and just talking out loud. And so I knew that I had God, but at the same time, he wasn't there with me when it came to, like, talking. I couldn't talk to him at lunch. And so I really struggled with that. And finally, after a long, miserable 2 weeks, I finally came to the conclusion that I was tired of it. I was tired of dealing with it. I was tired of consuming over it because it literally consumed everything I did. All my effort went into worrying about what I was going to do, trying to find new friends. And finally, once I just said, I surrender, I'm done, I can't hold on to it anymore, and I gave it to God, instantly, I felt a sudden just relief. And I remember my peace and my happiness just came back to me, all with just giving it away. And so right after that happened, I remember one of my really good friends asked me why I'd been so quiet at lunch and why I hadn't been doing stuff with them. And so I told her everything that was going on and everything that I had been dealing with and how I probably would need to be, you know. And so I remember she looked at me and was like, no, Sarah, you're one of my really good Christian friends and I'm not going to let you go. If you're sitting by yourself at lunch, I'm going to come sit with you and it'll just be the two of us. I'm not going to let you just be by yourself. And hearing that really was just God talking to me, because it was like God just saying, see, you spent so much of your time worrying about things, little things that you can't really control, and trying to control them and trying to take care of everything, but you couldn't do it. And as soon as I gave it over to him, in an instant, he had it fixed. And ever since then, I started to realize that with those friends, they can see Jesus just because I don't talk to them about Jesus. They can see Jesus through me and how I treat them and how I show them love and how I care for them. And so I've kind of made it my mission and my goal towards my friends that they always see Jesus through me. And just so that, just because we don't talk about Jesus all the time, doesn't mean Jesus can't be in those friendships. Jesus can be in those friendships through how I act and how I treat them. And so I've made it my goal to do that to them. And I do, and I love my friends to death. And with everything that I've gone through, I've appreciated those friends more, and I've appreciated God for getting me through these times. And that kind of gets back to earlier with the cross. There's going to be times when you struggle, and I realize that, and it's hard. My dad's always told me that trials are going to help you. They're hard to go through at the time, but in the end, the trials are what make you closer to God. And without that trial, I would not be where I am today. I would not be able to stand up here in front of you. I would not be able to tell you that God has worked through my life and that through that time, that trial, I've been closer than I ever have to Jesus. And I'm just a happier person, and I've made whole in this sense. So that's where I am today, and that's my story. Thank you for listening.